One of the most trusted men in America, the most trusted man in this administration, Colin Powell, the Secretary of State, and he is online with us. Secretary Powell, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Glenn. How are you?
Very good, sir. It is a real privilege to be able to talk to you. I've got about 2 years of questions for you, and I know you've got about 10 minutes, so I want to move as quickly as possible.
I'll give you the whole 2 years, Glenn.
Okay, here we go. First one. Weapons of mass destruction. You were the guy who held the vial up in the United Nations. You were the one that had all the credibility. There were a lot of people that were swayed by your testimony. Now, as it turns out, bad intel, not just on our part, but on the part of the Russians and the French and everybody else around the world. We are hearing about the bad intel, and yet at the same time, I'm hearing about weapon systems that have just mysteriously disappeared. I'm hearing about weapons parts that are mysteriously showing up in other countries. And I'm hearing about Russia, Putin, saying that Saddam Hussein was an imminent terror threat, and he warned us several times. Yet the administration's not standing on this. They're not really touting this. One of the best responses is, hello, Russia. How come? Is this a right-wing newspaper that is just telling us about these weapons of mass destruction, or is this to be believed?
Well, the presentation that I made to the United Nations on the 5th of February that laid out the case reflected the best judgment of the intelligence community, not only of the United States, but of all of the nations that you mentioned, and of the United Nations, and resulted in 12 years' worth of resolutions condemning Saddam Hussein and that regime. It also is the same intelligence base that caused President Clinton to bomb Iraq in 1998.
Right. I understand. Yeah. I understand this, but this is the old argument. Is the stuff that we are finding, we're finding sarin gas, we're finding missing parts and parts in other countries, why,
well,
is this real?
What was never at issue was that this regime under Saddam Hussein had the intention to have such weapons, had such weapons, and used such weapons against the Iranians and against their own population, killing 5,000 people in 1988 in a village up in the northern part of the country. It is also a country under Saddam Hussein that had the capability to produce such weapons. The only thing that's really at dispute, and the dispute is still going on, is did he have actual stockpiles waiting there? We have not found such stockpiles. If he did, where did they go? If he didn't, why didn't we know that he didn't? But let there be no doubt in your mind, in the mind of your listeners, that he had the intention, the capability, and if he'd ever gotten free from sanctions or the pressure of the international community, maybe you wanted to take the chance that he wouldn't go back in this direction and build those stockpiles using that intention and capability. But President of the United States and Prime Minister Blair and President Aznar of Spain and Prime Minister Berlusconi and Prime Minister Howard of Australia refused to take that chance and came together in a great coalition that removed him and his regime.
Well, now
we're starting to find evidence of that intention and capability. Still haven't found stockpiles yet, but there's no doubt that this is what he was doing and thinking of. And even the Russians now have been more forthcoming in recent days than they have been in the past.
Why didn't you come out and say the Russians have warned us that Saddam Hussein, and more than once, that Saddam Hussein is engaged in possible terror acts against the United States?
I think that I frankly was not aware of what the Russians might or might not have said to us through intelligence channels, and I'm not I'm not sure of it now. I'm waiting to hear from our intelligence folks as to what they had or had not heard from the Russians. But I think just from what you heard from the Russians this week, they recognized the guy was a threat. But keep in mind, the Russians were also opposed to this conflict, even if they recognized him as a threat.
I will tell you that I don't necessarily agree with all of your politics, but I am a huge fan of yours because you are a man of integrity and honesty and character, and to me, that's the whole kit and caboodle. We can argue about policies left and right, but the principles are what really tie us all together. so this question, I trust you to be able to give me a straight answer, and I don't want to make this into a political question. Let's just talk about Bill Generic as the candidate. That might be John Kerry, that might be George W. Bush. Bill Generic becomes the president of the United States, and he believes that our policy of changing the face of the Middle East is the right course. What is it that Bill Generic could possibly do to get the other countries like Russia or France in bed and behind us and work together with us that this president hasn't done?
Well, let's substitute George Bush for Bill Generic. In the last several weeks, George Bush has pulled together the UN Security Council with a 15-0 vote supporting our transition plan in Iraq. So he's pulled the Security Council back together to support the plan that we've laid out. Now, it doesn't mean France and Germany are going to provide troops, but it does mean that France and Germany are no longer arguing about the way forward. That's a major achievement. George Bush, not Bill Generic, was down at Sea Island, Georgia with the G8 leaders, the leaders of the industrial nations. And they put out a statement when the meeting was over saying, look, we really do have to work on reform and modernization in the Middle East. The Middle East needs it. The Middle East is asking us for it. So we're going to give them our help. And Bill Generic, let's call him George Bush, sent me up to the United Nations to pull what is called a quartet back together to support his effort to create a Palestinian state that's going to live side by side in peace with Israel and take advantage of this new move from the Israelis to evacuate all the settlements in Gaza and some of the beginning of the settlements in West Bank, getting them ready for evacuation as well. So I work for George Bush, not Bill Generic, and George Bush does what he thinks is right on the basis of principle, and that's what he did last year with Iraq. And now he's pulling the international community back together again to go forward, and that's what he's going to be doing this weekend with the European Union and with NATO.
Okay. Two other questions. I know I scream at my television all the time when I watch the news because for instance, there's Abu Ghraib on the front page, two stories of Abu Ghraib and not about the beheading. You have to go to page 4 on the beheading if you're looking at USA Today. What is it that you look at the television or you read in the newspaper and you say, why are you concentrating on this? I don't want to talk about the negative. I want to talk about the positive. What is it that Americans should be focused on? What is it that we're not, that is maybe on page 4 that should be on page 1 that really frustrates you?
What frustrates me is that news is news, and when there is a bomb going off or something of that nature, that will be seen as news and it'll jump to the top of any television show or any radio show for that matter, but principally television. Television is the visual carrier of thoughts these days, and that's what people watch and that's what they respond to. I wish there were more shows and more radio talk shows discussing the fact that we're rebuilding hundreds of schools, that we got the hospitals open, that we had the Iraqi Symphony Orchestra here and they were proud to show off for their nation, that in 1 hour's time, less than 1 hour's time, I will be swearing in a new ambassador to Baghdad. And he will go there to work with a sovereign government. We are giving sovereignty back to Iraq. Now, this is covered, but it doesn't get the same kind of attention. It doesn't give the American people the same sense of hope and optimism about all the good things we're doing and how we are going to succeed in Baghdad. If all you see is a bomb a day and then a beheading, which ends up in page 4 of a particular newspaper, and you think that characterizes the whole country, it does not. It's a country of 25 million people that is being terrorized by a few thousand, and we're going to defeat those few thousand.
The beheading is actually, these beheadings are working against al-Qaeda in the Islamic world, are they not?
I just finished a meeting with the Organization of the Islamic Conference. 57 Muslim nations are in this conference, and they have come out strongly condemning this, saying it is absolutely inconsistent with any tenet of Islam that they are aware of. And so, yes, it is playing against them, because every civilized person in the world, Christian, Jew, Hindu, or Islamic, has to condemn this kind of action.
I know you have to run, but let me just ask you this one last question, and that is, you're getting ready to swear in a new ambassador to Iraq. We're getting ready to hand this country over. I don't think we would be doing this if France and Russia and the rest of the world were in helping secure the area and we had support. I can't imagine that Iraq is really ready. Are they ready?
They're not ready to handle all the security, and that's why we'll be staying with a large force, and so will our coalition partners. If we could get more forces, that would be fine. But keep in mind, what the Iraqis really want to do is build up their forces, and they're asking us to help them build up their forces as quickly as possible so our forces can go home. Now, in terms of their leaders taking over next week, these guys are ready. The president is ready. The prime minister, the ministers of the cabinet are ready. They need some help. They need help with reconstruction. They need help with capacity building in the ministries. But they are determined to take back their country from the occupation and get on with building a free democratic Iraq that rests on a new constitution and the rule of law. And we're going to help them. The American people should be proud that it was the United States with its coalition partners that brought freedom to this country, so there'll never be another debate in the future about weapons of mass destruction or Iraq being a source of terrorism, the kind of debate you see in your papers every day. Those will not be future debates. They're debates today and debates of the past.
Secretary Powell, I hope that you feel the prayers of the American people. I know my family on our knees every night. We pray for the president, our troops, and his counselors, and that includes you. And we are so very proud of not only you, but everybody in the administration that has just behaved with honor and dignity and character. And I'm glad you're the Secretary of State.
Thanks very much, Glenn.
Thank you.